John Jordan McDonald, Gary Myers here. How are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Harp. So let's start off with your evaluation of the Cano trade. And will you like it short-term, or are you concerned about giving out those prospects long-term?
Yeah, I mean, I really like it on the one hand. The fact that Brody Van Wagenen comes out and he's aggressive, and they get Edwin Diaz, a 24-year-old closer, maybe the best closer in baseball last year, for a guy they couldn't have got otherwise, and you're getting it basically because you're willing to take on Cano's money. But I do think I feel like they didn't look. They had all the, he had all the leverage in this deal, which you rarely get. And from a GM's point of view, and I feel like he didn't push that to the ultimate advantage. I think they could have got the deal done without giving up this kid Kelnick that the scouts really love, just because the Mariners were so desperate. They wanted Cano out. They had nowhere else to send him because he had the no-trade clause. So I like it on the one hand. I the one thing you do have to question, too, is Van Wagenen. You know, maybe Van Wagenen, his judgment is a little bit clouded because he was Cano's agent. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of respect for the guy. Maybe he thinks more of him than other people do. I think Cano will give him a couple good years. I do think he upgrades the offense, but I don't think he pushed that advantage to the fullest in terms of the leverage on the deal.
Fair enough, and everything I've read and heard was that he was the key. The Met prospect outfielder was the key to the deal, so I don't know if they could have gotten around that, but could they have may have gotten the Mariners kicking a little bit more for salary coverage on the back end of the deal?
Well, that, or I think maybe they also maybe could have gotten them to include Malik Smith, the center fielder, which would have filled another hole for them, a right-handed hitting center fielder. I think he's left-handed hitter.
Left-handed.
But he would have kind of given kind of a Ligueras platoon there out in center, and he would have given us some speed. I think he stole like 40 bases or something last year. So that was a possibility. Yeah, maybe more money one way or the other. But, you know, really, that's the one thing. Like, if you're a Mets fan, you want to see them take on as much money as they could have or take on all the money, and then they wouldn't have probably had to give back as much in terms of prospects. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue, is that, you know, if you're on the Mets end of it, you feel like from the fans' point of view that they're always looking to save the money rather than, you know, be more Yankee-like and take on the money if it means giving up fewer prospects.
Harp, total hypothetical. Is this a deal that Sandy Alderson would have made?
I don't think so, because he just, you know, Sandy did a lot of good things there, but he was fairly conservative, did not like taking on salary, and I'm not sure some of that was because he was prohibited from doing it. But at the same time, I heard from him and some of his people there, you know, they want to be creative, they want to think creatively, but they rarely did when you look at the deals they made. So no, I think Van Wagenen, he's out there looking at everything, and this was a deal I think nobody would have predicted just because of the Cano money, but they managed to do it in a way where, to me, that you get this Diaz kid. I think that really is enticing because he could really shore up them. And they get him and one other guy. I've suggested Andrew Miller. Now you've got a back end of the rotation and compete with anybody.
Harp, a lot of people are reporting that the Mets are one of several teams that are still in the bidding for JT Realmuto as far as a potential trade with the Marlins go. We all know the Mets could use an upgraded catcher. They did give up a top prospect in the deal to get Cano and Diaz. Do they have the pieces to make a deal for a guy like Realmuto? Would it be well advised as far as you're concerned?
I think they should do whatever they can to get Realmuto. If it means you're giving up Rosario, I would do it just because I think the advantage you gain with a catcher like that, one of the best catchers in the game defensively and offensively, there's such a dearth of offensive catching in baseball now that I think it gives you an advantage. And you could replace Rosario. I've suggested maybe for a year you get it, or 2 years you get a guy. I like Iglesias, who's a real good fielder as a short-term fit, and you've got this kid Jimenez coming that they really love, who's considered, you know, one of their top, very top prospects. So you could do it that way, but I don't think they have what it takes as far as matching, especially the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers want this guy, Realmuto, and they've got a young catcher. I think his name is Keibert Ruiz. I just wrote about it. The 20-year-old guy that's really highly regarded, which would seem to be the kind of thing the Marlins would want him, and they got young pitching. I'm not sure the Mets are going to be able to match what the Dodgers can do, give up for him.
Harp, if you were able to project now 5 days down the road, after the meetings are over, would you anticipate that the Mets will have made another big deal by the time the meetings end? I know it's no real deadline to get it done then, obviously, but do you think that Van Wagenen comes out of this thing with another big piece?
Yeah, I think he'll definitely. I think they'll sign at least one free agent during the meetings, and maybe more. He said openly that they are considering AJ Pollock, who's a great fit, right-handed hitting center fielder, good offensive player, good defensive player, but he's got a history of injuries that would give you pause, especially if you're talking about a 4-year deal, probably for pretty good money, because he's probably one of the top center fielders in the game. They're definitely going to get another reliever as well. I think Andrew Miller is worth a gamble now, because you have Diaz as your closer. Now I'd be more inclined to take a chance with Miller and his injury history as well, because when he's right, we've seen what he can do. He dominates anybody, and if you get that and Diaz at the back end, now you really got something. So I could see either one of those two guys. Maybe they go a different way for a reliever. Maybe a Zach Britton, maybe even a David Robertson, something like that. But they'll get one of those. And then the catching situation, if they can't get Realmuto, they're gonna have to sign a free agent. I don't think they're gonna get Ramos. He's gonna be in demand. I think it's more likely they sign somebody like Maldonado, who's a good defensive catcher, which is really what they need. They need an upgraded catcher, but they need somebody who's gonna take charge of that staff. I mean, you saw the difference a guy like Mesoraco made last year. DeGrom wanted him to catch every one of his starts, just because he was so into preparing and working the game from behind the plate, which is what they haven't had in recent years. So I think they'll get, in the end, I think they'll get maybe two or three of those guys. I think they'll get at least one during the meetings.
Harp, I've heard this from a lot of baseball analysts and the like since the Cano deal came down. Hey, if the Mets get 3 out of the 5 years of Cano's remaining years on his contract as good years, you can live with the years 4 and 5 turning out a little ugly as compared to production and salary. That being the case, how many years out of the 6-year deal that Patrick Corbin got with the Nationals do you think we'll be able to say, hey, those were worth the years, the remaining years turn out to be ugly? 3 out of 5, 6, 4 out of 6, 5 out of 6, how many do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I mean, you would think at least 4. He's not that old. My concern with him is that I'm not sure what he is yet. You know, last year he really went, he upped his usage with his slider tremendously and changed speeds with it and became kind of a different pitcher and had his most dominant year. Now, will the league adjust to him? Can he do that? He's only really had one big time year. I'm not sure. You know, he's worth that kind of, well, I don't think he's worth that kind of money. I think the Yankees are smart not to go 6 years, 140. But, you know, for the Nationals, he slots right in there. He's not even their ace for that kind of money. He's behind Scherzer and Strasburg. So I guess it comes down to if he helps him win a championship, then it was worth it. But I would think he'll pitch to whatever level he can pitch to for at least 4 or 5 years.
Harp, we keep hearing the Yankees distancing themselves, at least through back channels, it seems, from Bryce Harper. It seems that Machado is a good fit with Didi being hurt, at least being out at least the first half of the season. Based on the Yankees' history, every time it seems that they're kind of throwing a cold shoulder towards a big money player, that they wind up signing him. Would you think that? Or would you put the odds that they sign? Obviously, they're not going to sign Harper and Machado, but lay the odds on each of those guys winding up with the Yankees.
I'm going to go as high as 75% Machado. And I guess on the other end of that is about 20-25% on Bryce Harper. I just think Machado fits him better. I think Bryce Harper, obviously, the left-handed bat they could really use. It just seems like they are much more interested in Machado. I thought Hal Steinbrenner's comments about him, you know, basically wanting to know what that was all about, his Johnny Hustle comments, told me that they have interest there. Otherwise, why would he care? We'll see. I just think if you bring in Machado to play short for whatever for Didi until Didi comes back and he becomes your long-term third baseman, that gives you options as far as trading And Duhar, and I think I wrote about this for today at SNY, that they can maybe then use Andujar to help you make a trade for Corey Kluber, which really gives you another elite starter, which is what they're trying to do here after they lost Corbin. So that's how I think Machado fits him in so many ways, just because he would help make Andujar a guy you could use in a trade.
All right, I'm going to throw a hypothetical your way. Gary, 3-1. Machado signs elsewhere. He Phillies, whoever else, he signs within the next couple of days, and the Yankees are thwarted in their attempt to add him. If Harper says he wants to come here, and he'll come here for the type of deal that he turned down with the Nationals, 10 years, $300 million, but he wants to come to the Yankees because his father was a huge Mantle fan, whatever the backstory is, that he's always had a soft spot for the Yankees. Would the Yankees trade Stanton, which we know he has a no-trade clause, for basically nothing if they just got his 9 years and $240 million off the salary cap to clear money to get Harper for what they think is a fair market deal?
Oh, I think absolutely, Joey. Yeah, I think even if they didn't get Harper, they might trade Stanton if they could. Not that Stanton, he's going to get his numbers in the regular season, but I think the Yankees were a little bit surprised, and you know, until you watch a guy every day, you know, you don't really know what he's at exactly about as a hitter. And Stanton's just not—he's not a guy. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's going to hit, you know, the really good pitching, which you're going to see in the postseason. He's going to get his numbers and all that, but yeah, I would think the problem is, of course, he has the no trade. So where could you send him other than the Dodgers, where he would agree to go, and the Dodgers aren't taking him. So that's what complicates everything. But yeah, I think absolutely they would exchange that for Bryce Harper with that left-handed power, which they don't have a lot of
right in
that lineup right now. So that's why you can't even rule it out that maybe they do end up signing him, because yeah, I do think that he does have something. You know, I do think he'd really love to play for the Yankees. But on the other hand, I do think the Phillies are serious about making a big-time run at one of those two guys, and it's hard to believe that they would not go higher than that $300 million total to secure him if that's what it comes down to.
Harp, do you think that the Yankees ultimately now have buyer's remorse on Stanton, and it was just an overreaction to losing Ohtani to the Angels, and they almost had ants in their pants, that they felt they had to do something, and that it was the kind of thing that they should have looked ahead a year and said, well, if we're going to commit this kind of money to Stanton, no way we can we spend for Harper, and maybe we should just sit tight and wait for Harper and see how that plays out?
Absolutely, although they'll tell you that they were looking ahead a year, and they thought at the time getting Stanton for what they did. Remember, they did get the Marlins to eat some of the money. So getting Stanton for, you know, I think what somewhere in the mid to high 20 million a year range, they thought they were making kind of a smart move as opposed to what it would cost for Machado or Harper. But again, yeah, I think the problem is that they didn't expect that to be there, and they just lost Ohtani, and all of a sudden they're being offered Stanton basically for nothing. I think they couldn't resist. I do think he helped sell tickets. He generated a lot of excitement. He was coming off that 59 home run year, the NL MVP year. I'm sure they knew what he was about as a hitter. I'm just not sure they had really watched him that closely every day to know. He's kind of a classic mistake hitter. You watch him, he doesn't recognize breaking stuff. He chases out of the zone more than I really realized. So I think, yeah, that's the issue. I do think, yeah, that thing came up so fast right after the Ohtani thing. The timing was perfect. And I'm sure even above Cashman, Randy Levine, Hal Steinbrenner are looking at it like, yeah, this guy's a superstar. He is going to sell tickets. I think that was probably part of it too.
Harp, good stuff. Looking forward to reading your stuff all week. Thanks for hopping on with us for a couple minutes today, bud.